This episode of the Bamboo Pastors Podcast has been brought to you by Resource Global. Resource Global is an organization whose mission is to teach, mentor, and connect emerging Christian marketplace leaders around the world so that they can renew their workplaces and cities for the gospel. From Jakarta to Singapore, from Nairobi to Johannesburg, and from Austin to cities worldwide, Resource Global is bringing these leaders together to learn from like-minded leaders in their own cities, as well as leaders from around the globe. To find out more about the work of Resource Global, please visit resourceglobal.org.
Welcome to the Bamboo Pastors Podcast, a podcast that explores the joys and challenges of being an English-speaking pastor in a Chinese church. I'm Jalen Chan, and I'm here with my co-host, John Mon.
Hey, everyone.
Together, we host the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. We're glad that you're here with us. Come on in and have a seat at the table.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. I'm with my co-host, John. John, it's good to see you. For those people who were listening to our last episode, it may have appeared as if we had relinquished our podcasting responsibilities, that we'd been taken over by the Bamboozled Pastors Podcast. That was, hopefully people understand that's a April Fool's joke. I know, John, you've got some messages. We've got some messages about, you know, what happened to our podcast? Why are we leaving? But that was an April Fool's joke. It was fun for us while we were recording it. Fun, I think, for us to interact with people. But anyways, it's good to be back. I hope listeners are still with us. They have not been searching for the Bamboozled Pastors Podcast. But John, how are you doing?
I think my biggest fear, Jalen, was actually that the Bamboozled Pastors Podcast would immediately be much more popular than the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. I know for myself, I was very entertained, even just not just recording it, but even in the editing process was cracking up again. And so, yeah, I know one of those people that asked why we gave up our podcast was my own mother, who I think my brother had to explain to her the particular day that the episode came out was, in fact, April Fool's Day. And so, yeah, but it's been a while since we've recorded. I know a lot's been going on in your life and ministry, and I think it's been similar on my end. It's been a pretty busy last month. I think we had Easter, all sorts of things. And I think as we are coming or like gearing up for summer, this has just been kind of a crazy month for me. I'm in the middle of multiple like retreat conference preparation type stuff. Last week I was on a 24-hour writing retreat with the lead team for a young adult conference that my church is hosting. It's actually going to serve our entire Alliance family, but really specifically targeted at young adults out here in the West Coast. And so my team was like up in like at Alliance Redwoods, which is a campsite near San Francisco. And we were just like working on the main stage messages, cranking out some of the logistics and things. And so it was very productive, but it's been very busy. And so that was like last week, just a few days ago. And then I'm back now. And then this coming Saturday, I'm heading up to Sacramento to speak twice at a youth ministry training conference that's also like being hosted in our district. And it's like an Alliance youth ministry training conference called the Next Ministry Conference. And so I feel like between both of those things, plus the normal busyness of like church ministry and preaching and Easter and, oh man, it has felt like pretty nonstop this month. But I think it's really been a new season for me of just learning to kind of get into this sort of rhythm of just going one week at a time. And I think it's been challenging in a good way for me to have to kind of have multiple preaching opportunities back to back to back to back. Because normally I'm at about a once a month preaching clip or so. I know that you are much more frequently in the pulpit, but for me, I think it's been good to kind of get back into this rhythm. It's been a while since I've had to do that. Back when I was in youth ministry, I did that a lot. But yeah, so it's been stretching me in a good way. forcing me to really, really rely on the Lord. We should always be relying on the Lord, but I think in particular, this feels like it has felt like a heavier burden, but trusting the Lord in it. So
yeah,
that's me. What about you?
It sounds exciting. I think that that's certainly some really cool things that you guys are doing, and have some questions I'll ask you later about that writing retreat. That sounds really cool. But certainly something to be praying for you about. I know that's, I feel like it's always hard to come out of like the Easter season and then just, you know, in some ways it can be, you've got some momentum, right? Cause you're just kind of building up towards Easter. You're going through Easter. And then if you just keep going, that you can kind of go through with that momentum. For us, I feel like there's like, we're kind of in a lull now. I think there's maybe a few weeks here before we start ramping up stuff for summer. And just coming back from a busy Easter season, ministry wise, I think it was really a wonderful time to worship and celebrate and be with God's people. And, you know, these next few weeks here, I think there's just kind of a lull, and it gives us sort of a break and a breather before we get back into summer things. My family and I had kind of an extended spring break. I told you that we had gotten chosen, our family had gotten chosen. We were cast to shoot a Disney Cruise Line commercial. And so we were able to jump on a cruise for a few days and be in front of cameras for like 8 to 10 hours a day and enjoy a cruise, which was really fun. So we've talked a little bit about that separately, but kind of a cool experience for our family. But that was kind of thrown into our whole Easter season, so extra busy for us. But now, we're right in that mode of like our kids are starting to wind down in school. We have I think just over like 30 school days left, and so they're starting to feel like, you know, like I want to be done. You know, they just want to be out, and that puts a lot of pressure, I feel like, on us to just kind of keep them involved and engaged. And so I think, you know, these next 5 or 6 weeks are going to be challenging, but yeah, we're up for the final push here for school.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if our listeners realize this, but we actually do use this podcast to catch up with one another. So I do feel like sometimes when we don't record for a little while, we end up talking a lot more and have a lot more to kind of catch up on and things like that. So I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I've been curious about this. I've been waiting for us to hop on this call to talk about this, because it was less of a thing here in California, I think, but yesterday was the solar eclipse. And I feel like the Midwest was somewhere in that path of totality that I keep hearing about. Yeah. I feel like out here, it was not a thing at all. Maybe like a few people knew about it.
Yeah.
But what was that like? Was it, you know, did you hear more people talking about like, or preaching apocalyptic sermons during that time or anything like that?
No apocalyptic sermons. That was definitely a big thing. So we had for context for our school, it was, if parents wanted to come and grab their kids to pull them out to go look at the eclipse with, you know, safe glasses or whatever, it was counted as an excused absence. So they were allowed to come and just grab their kids and, you know, do that. It was a big thing. And I think it was like a quarter of the school left. So it was a huge, you know, it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I forget the percentage of totality or percentage of, you know, the eclipse or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely noticeable. Like the sky got fairly dark and it was my day off, and so I was just at home, but I was watching the NASA feed. I didn't really look outside too much. But Jenny was able to, you know, because she works at the school that our kids are at, she was able to bring 4 of the 5 of them out to look at it with the glasses and stuff. We elected not to bring the youngest one because we didn't trust him to
keep the glasses on
the whole time. But it was pretty cool. Definitely a bigger deal here.
Okay.
So it was fun.
Yeah, that's funny. I was out biking with Pearson, and I don't think we even realized it was happening until after the fact. So clearly it was, we missed it, but
that's so interesting. Yeah, it was definitely a huge, huge deal here.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. Well, speaking of people who do ministry in California, I'm excited to introduce our guest for today. We actually met Melody in Texas, and we were at that same, you know, gathering of Chinese Heritage Church ministry workers. And I realized that Melody serves at a church just not down the street, but one town over, one city over from where my church is. And so we have Melody's son on here with us tonight. Melody is the English ministry director at Ark Baptist Church in Milpitas, California. I happened to just be in the area today, and so I drove past her church and realized, like, oh, this is where her church is located. What a coincidence, since we are recording tonight for the podcast. And so, Melody, it's good to have you on with us and to, yeah, be able to talk ministry with you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. It's good to be on.
Yeah, good to have you, Melody. We always start the podcast with the same question for each of our guests, and that's just to ask you to briefly share your ministry journey, your calling with us. How did you feel God's call to bring you into ministry and where you're at now?
Sure. Yeah. So you know how sometimes kids grow up in church, they don't really have a time where they can pinpoint when they got saved. It's kind of like that for me with ministry, with my calling. I can't really pinpoint an exact moment where it's like the Lord called me to ministry or whatever. But looking back, there's definitely been a lot of affirmations from all different sides. I grew up in a very large ministry family from my mom's side. And so my grandpa actually founded our church, the one that I'm serving at and basically have been for my entire life almost. And three of his daughters, my mom being one of them, are pastors' wives. And so my dad became a pastor when I was about 12. And so I've always kind of grown up in church, serving here and there, just kind of following along with whatever was going on. And our church was a little smaller. And so growing up, when I hit about youth, later middle school or early high school, around then, there wasn't really much of a youth group. And I happened to be the oldest kid or oldest second gen at our church. And also because I was PK, it kind of just, I just grew into that ringleader position of kind of just youth leader unofficially. And so that was kind of my role throughout high school, early college. And actually after college, after I graduated, I became an intern officially at my church working with the youth. And so in college, the Lord laid missions on my heart. I thought I was going to move overseas, go into, you know, full-time missions work. But so I actually did join a missions training school. And then that was all the way in Colorado, so was not home for a little bit. Worked in their home office for a couple of years. And then right before COVID, the Lord shut all the doors to me doing missions. And so I ended up moving home right around COVID, and then plugged right back into our church. And then once I came back, I stepped into the English ministry director role. And so it's been about 3 years now, a little over 3 years. And I think just about a year into coming back, had laid down all my hopes and dreams of doing missions long-term. There was one night where the Lord really just very clearly impressed on my heart the phrase, the Chinese youth of America. And so that's kind of the trajectory I've been on for the last couple of years. And as I prayed into it more, really just pulling together my life verse, Psalm 27:4, which says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And so putting those two things together, my, I guess, vision, my calling is to rally the Chinese youth of America around the one thing that matters, kind of following after that verse. And so it's where I am now. And yeah.
Wow. It's such an encouragement to really hear about not only your faithful obedience to God's calling in your life and, you know, your desire to serve, I think in one realm or one arena, but then the Lord kind of moving you in a different direction and closing doors and having to walk through those in obedience. But I think also hearing about this legacy of faithfulness in your family, that's just such an encouragement too. I was wondering if you could maybe just unpack a little bit of what your ministry looks like, because I know that for different churches, like especially in Chinese heritage churches, the phrase English ministry director can mean a lot of different things. So what are some of the groups that you work with? You know, it sounds like you're working with youth for sure, but what are some other areas that you kind of serve in?
Yeah, so I kind of joke that I'm an English pastor without the title or the preaching. And so I oversee a lot of the everything that happens outside of our Sunday services that happen in English. And so that's the college and young adult group, our youth group, our English prayer meetings, some of our mentorship, discipleship programs, and just random English activities and things like that. And so our church, we have a single congregation, bilingual congregation. And so everything on Sunday morning happens in both languages from the stage. And so we don't have a separate English service or a separate English congregation. It's just all kind of meshed together. And so all the things I do are outside of that Sunday morning, all the English things.
Yeah. And I think that that makes sense. Like when you have the one combined service, there's a lot of good and value that comes from that sort of interaction that's intergenerational, that's cross language. But there's probably also some things that you might need to be more intentional about outside of that space. And so I know that in one of our conversations over the last, you know, year or so, talking about ministry, you've mentioned to me that something that you guys do as a church is you will intentionally visit, I don't know if it's every, but the majority of your college students, you will try to visit them at least once. Is it once per year or is it once during their college career?
It's once. We try to visit every college student in their first semester away from home.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So tell us more about that, because that's not something I've heard a ton of. Like a lot of churches, I feel like they send out college students. I mean, like mine is no exception. And I think Jalen's is the same. Like we're intentional about launching them out. And then we like wait patiently to receive them back. We want them to come back. We want to do everything we can to let them know that they have a home, you know, back here at our church, even if the Lord leads them elsewhere, that they can always consider this a spiritual home. But I feel like to go and visit, you know, your students in their first semester, and they could be all over the country, like that's really not something I've heard a whole lot of. So where did that idea come from? And just tell us a little bit more about that one.
Yeah, so a few years ago, all of a sudden, we had a whole entire batch of kids all go down to SoCal all at the same time for the first time. This was, I think, the year after COVID. We had like 8 or 9 of them all go down to SoCal at the same time. And so that semester, me and one of our other leaders, we were just talking and we were like, oh, it'd be really cool to be able to go down and visit all of them since they're all there anyway, and we'll just catch them all at once. And so what ended up happening was, so my dad, he's the senior pastor, and this other leader and I, the three of us, we drove down to LA. We're like, hey, let's get everybody together. We want to make you some homemade meals, just, you know, give you a taste of home. It's your first time away, all of that. And so we rented out an Airbnb, made some food for them, drove around trying to pick up everybody, treated them to boba, just hung out for a weekend. And then coming back from that, we just saw that the feedback that we got was overwhelmingly positive, both from the students and their parents. And so after that year, we were like, oh, maybe we should try to do this every year for all of the freshmen or all of the students going off for the first time. And so the next year, we only had one student and she was in New York. And so me and this other lady who had been her mentor, the two of us flew out to New York just to see her. And this past year, we were in Boston and LA again, and just really wanting to show them that we care and make a point to visit them, you know, bring them a lot of times we'll sign cards. Our church is really big on signing cards for people or writing notes. And so we'll have the whole church sign, or as many people as we can from church, sign cards for them that we'll take to them. And so it's kind of like care package, but like extreme version.
Yeah, it's like you guys are the care package, right? You guys are going. That's an awesome thing to do. I'm thinking of the, for you're flying across the country for some of these students. Was it difficult to justify like the time, energy, and cost? I would imagine like obviously being able to connect with them face to face and in person certainly worth it. But for the sort of like the church treasurer, was that like a what was that conversation like?
Yeah, so we had to definitely push for it a little bit. There was a little bit of pushback, but I think because people saw the value in it, because after that year, almost all of our college students came back. And so I don't know if that was more because we went and visited them or because that's just kind of how our church community is, because a lot of our kids are homeschooled, and so church tends to be one of their primary communities already. And so I don't know which fed more into it, but all of our students came back, which is, I don't know, that percentage-wise is pretty high. And so people saw the worth and the value in it, but it was definitely like we're taking two people, sending them to visit just one student. And it wasn't so much the finances as much as IRS. Code something or other. I'm not exactly sure how all of that works, but the pushback was more because of the how it would impact taxes and tax status and things like that. And so what we ended up deciding was that we would have a separate offering for specifically for these visits and to process those funds separately. And so we would bypass the whole IRS issue. And overall, the church is pretty supportive and been over raising actually every year and feeding all the extra funds into the local students that we get to take out for a meal every now and then, things like that.
Yeah, I'm super just encouraged by what you guys are doing, and actually a little bit convicted and challenged too, because now I'm realizing, you know what? I'm gonna be in Sacramento on Saturday speaking at this conference, and the conference ends at in the afternoon. I should totally swing by Davis and visit our college students and try to take them out for a meal. I hadn't even thought about it because I think in my mind I was like, okay. The conference is done. I'm gonna turn around, head right back to San Jose. I gotta leave worship the next morning. But yeah, it's an opportunity to connect with them and to really just remind them that they're loved and that we care for them. So yeah, I think right after we finish recording, Jalen, you'll have to remind me if I haven't already texted some of those students up there from my church. I'm curious, how many years have you guys been doing this, Melody?
I think this is our third year.
Wow, fun, cool. And so, yeah, I feel like what a very healthy practice, and a simple one in some ways, that you're engaging people. And it's something that I feel like churches, Chinese heritage churches, or any church, regardless of their size or their resources, this is something they can do tangibly. And maybe it's not all ways a visit, but it could be, yeah, like the care package thing or something like that. So that's awesome. I think I wanted to kind of pivot just a little bit because you and I both, a large part of our ministry is focused on college and young adult ministry, like people who are either students or young professionals. And so just wanted to ask, like in this recent season, especially, a couple, again, I don't know if we are officially allowed to say in the Chinese Heritage Church, I don't know if we're officially allowed to say post pandemic, but at least, 4 years out from the start of the pandemic, what have been some of the joys and challenges of doing college and young adult ministry for you and at your church, like right now, besides going to visit, kind of the ministry that you're doing? In Milpitas, in the Bay, in South Bay.
Yeah, well, you probably remember this, John, but a year ago or so, a little less than a year ago, our college and young adult group was really struggling. We had lost momentum and we needed to kind of revamp things, but I didn't really have a lot of capacity at the time, and none of our core team did either. And so after that, I don't know if we ever talked about it, but one of our students came up to me one night and was just saying, "Hey, things, this is how I'm seeing things are going, and we need to do something about it." And so he actually ended up stepping in, and we ended the college and young adult group that was going on at the time, took a break for the summer, and then relaunched in the fall with a new name, new core team, kind of just like a fresh start. And now with the new team and the new kind of new group, it's really being driven by the students now, and a couple of the young adults. And so a couple of months ago, we switched from meeting on Wednesdays to meeting on Fridays. And the rest of our church, most of the groups, the small groups, meet on Fridays. And so youth group, a bunch of the adult Chinese groups, they're all on Fridays. And so one of the things that we've really seen in this last couple of months is now that the college and young adult group is on Fridays, I'm not able to be there all the time because I lead the youth group on Fridays. And it's just one of the really cool things is seeing them be able to thrive without me. It's the whole like trying to work yourself out of a job thing as a leader. And so it's been really cool to see them take ownership of the young adult group, and they're like, they're thriving right now, real good. And so it's just really cool to see that I'm not really needed there, and to make sure key things are still running, and they're able to really do that themselves, lead Bible study, enjoy fellowship, and all of that. And so that meeting on Friday nights, another benefit of that is we're able to do some combined things with the youth group and the college and young adult group. And so we're always trying to build those bridges, right, between the generations. And so recently we've been seeing a lot of that coming together. And so that's just been one of the greatest joys, especially having come from last summer, when our group was kind of fizzling out a little bit, to see where things are now. It's just been great.
Yeah, it sounds super exciting. I would imagine that that process of kind of shutting things down for the summer and then restarting would be a little bit scary, right? Just not knowing what to expect and what's going to happen. But man, praise God that it's thriving now. And as you said, certainly like it's a God thing to see some of the things, these things coming together. John, I was going to ask you the same question actually, since that's what you do as well. What have you experienced as far as joys and challenges? Connecting with and discipling college and young adult people right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now for our church, we have a young adult ministry, and then like we have a technically separate college ministry, but we try to run them side by side or in parallel because I think there's a lot of stability in our young adult ministry. And in especially during the school year, we don't have as many college students who are coming out. Many of our students, they leave for school, and so we want those side by side because I think they kind of strengthen one another. And this newly formed local college ministry that we just started can kind of, just really benefit from like the potluck skills of our young adult ministry, and that stability. But something that's been really exciting for us has been, I think similar to what Melody was describing and how, because that you guys shifted time, or the day of your ministry, you've had to kind of take a step back because you have kind of responsibilities that now overlap and you can't be in two places at once or give full attention to both at the same time or in the same way. And I think I felt something similar, because of these parallel college and young adult ministries that I'm overseeing. And so one of the joys has been for me to see my young adult leaders really stepping fully into the things that God is calling them to. And then I think similarly in our college ministry, I've actually had a few college students who have really kind of stepped out in faith and I'm seeing them serve, and it's kind of in informal capacities, because that group is small. It's like a handful of people right now, but they're loving one another. They're reaching out to those who are joining our fellowship, and our group and our church, and it's been such an encouragement to kind of see leaders rising up from both groups. It's been an intentional, something that we've been intentional about trying to develop and give opportunity to. And then I think something just as a praise, I back in December as a church, we were praying through what are our like faith goals for the coming year. And we talked about it as a staff, and then we're gonna share it with the whole church at like a couple prayer meetings, and we had like a vision and prayer summit that was coming up. And so I'd been thinking a lot about like, what do I want to see God do? Not just like, oh, these are the plans I want to lay out, but like, I want to see God do this in my ministry. And I think one of the things I'd written down had been, I want to see the friends that come to our young adult group that don't know Jesus trust Jesus for the first time this year. And then another one had also been, we want to see new seekers coming through, and that they would encounter the Lord as well. And something that's really exciting is actually the two people that I had in mind when I wrote that down and then shared it with the church. Both of them have come to know the Lord in the last couple months, and or even just in the last few weeks. One of them actually over this past weekend, and so it's been super exciting to see God at work. And I think the crazy thing is, like, we were asking, like, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, these are the two individuals that I can think of. We've been investing in them for months or years. And then God has brought even more than that, like more than we asked or imagined, and so that's been just something that's been really exciting for our church and our ministry. And so, yeah, I feel like there's such an incredible opportunity for harvest, here in the Bay. And it's been a joy serving that demographic and yeah, that group. So I don't know if I can think of, I mean, there's challenges for sure, but I think it's been too exciting for me to remember those right now. So.
Yeah. No, I think that's so exciting because, for me, I mean, our church, that's a demographic that we lack. We lack college students and young adults. And our youth group is growing now, and so we'll have those college students, and I definitely want to steal Melody's idea of visiting each of our college students when they go off. But, I think that's something that we definitely want to celebrate, especially in the Chinese Heritage Church, because I feel like probably for most Chinese Heritage churches, that's when that sort of age group, the college and young adults, that's when people start to leave the CHC, and a lot of them don't come back, right? And so I love that you guys have really invested in this particular season of a person's life. And I think that for all of us as CHCs, like, this is something that we need to keep pressing into and trusting God with, and asking Him to help us do. But Melody, I want to come back to something that you said when you were kind of sharing about your ministry journey and calling. Your grandpa served the church that you're at. Your dad is the senior pastor there now. That's kind of a cool thing that you're serving in a church where there's just been generations of your family kind of leading. What have been some of the blessings of ministering in a context like this? Did you feel any pressure to like continue in the family business, so to speak? Or like, how has that whole experience been for you?
For me, I think it was mostly just, it was very natural of me stepping into leadership because I was the oldest kid in church. And so just being the ringleader, always pulling people together. So yeah, it was just a natural transition into the role. It's definitely serving with your dad is has its pros and cons. We can talk about ministry over the dinner table and just always be, dreaming big dreams and talking about these things together, talking about ideas. And at the same time, it means that it's really hard to shut off that ministry brain sometimes, where I live at home right now with my parents, and so go to church, do your work, you have your meetings, you come home, and you're still there with your coworker who is in the room next door, and so it's definitely has its blessings and challenges. It's definitely a lot of fun, though. I think as the daughter of senior pastor, I can pitch ideas to him and push certain things that other people might not be able to, especially when it comes to second gen stuff. But also, my dad's very on board with second gen ministries and things like that, and so it makes it easier. But I can just throw wild ideas at him and let him do some filtering, and then if I think something's good enough, I can just keep working on him because he's my dad. It's definitely interesting serving on staff with your dad as the senior pastor. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can I'm just trying to think what that would be like, but it sounds fun and exciting. I'm curious, what's the wildest idea you've ever pitched him?
I think I don't know if it'd be the wildest idea, but well, two come to mind immediately. One is the college visits. He wasn't originally going to go. He was like, "Oh, you and the other leader, you guys are the ones that work with the youth, so you guys should go." And I was like, "No, Dad, senior pastor is very important when it comes to connecting with the second gen." And so I was able to convince him in a matter of, I think, a couple of days. And so he just cleared his schedule and ended up coming with us. And the kids really loved it. The other one was when we went from having our services being bilingual twice a month to being fully bilingual. And that was one of those things where I was like, hey, we need to do something with our college students and young adults who shouldn't be in the high school Sunday school class anymore, but also won't be able to sit through service if it's not translated. And so there's kind of not really space for them. And so pitched that to him. He thought about it, pitched it to the rest of the coworker board, and it was a within a month or two, we just made the switch, and we've been fully bilingual since then.
Oh, that's awesome. It's cool that, you have that, sort of access in working with your dad. I feel like there's a sermon illustration in there somewhere. So, but Melody, I know that you actually carved out time and space to record with us. You actually have more ministry stuff going on today. And so we don't want you to be late for that. So we'll just wrap things up with the same question that we ask all of our guests. But what would just be one piece of advice or encouragement that you would give to someone who's currently serving in the Chinese Heritage Church?
I think I'd say connect with other people who are doing the same things that we're all doing in English ministry and Chinese heritage churches, conferences like ALC, CHCC, where we met, just different ministry leader connections, gatherings. And I think people who are listening to this be preaching to the choir a little bit, but listen to podcasts like this one. I think especially serving in English ministry in the Chinese Heritage Church can be very lonely sometimes. And it just makes it that much easier when you know that there's other people who are doing it in their own context, but doing the same thing that you're doing, and that you're not alone. And so I think just a piece of advice I'd offer is go find other people who are doing what you're doing and connect with them.
Super helpful. I think that's something that we'll definitely want to keep plugging and encouraging people to do. So thank you for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing, some of the great ideas that you've been doing at your ministry. Thanks for being on our podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Melody. I'm gonna go text those college students right now. So
Sounds good.
that's the end of our episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the pod on whatever platform you listen to us on. Rate and review us, and check in every week as we explore the joys and challenges of ministry in the Chinese church. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Bamboo Pastors. See you next time.